Christ according to St. Mark, chapter 12, beginning at verse 28.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." When the scribe said to him, then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and that besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Good evening, everyone. I'm actually going to be speaking from the chapter in Ruth that we read a few moments ago. When we open up the book of Ruth, when we reach the beginning, we find ourselves on the day of the judges, the day when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Here we have Israel, who have been chosen to love the Lord, to listen to him, and yet they're doing whatever they want. And it's chaos. Life is tough, life is hard in Bethlehem. God is not happy, they're under judgment, there is a famine in the land. And we're told about this man from Bethlehem and his wife Naomi and their two sons, who go to live for a while in Moab. And you can imagine the conversation, can't you? There's Elimelech and Naomi, and Elimelech comes home and says, "Naomi, I've heard the rumour. The guys at work said that there's bread in Moab. It's pretty rubbish here in Bethlehem. Shall we go to Moab? Just for a little while, fill the car, bring it back." Moab becomes this place of fantasy for them. And they dream dreams about it. "If only we could go to Moab, it will solve all of our problems, Naomi. Life will be so much better there." They pin all of their hope on Moab. They daydream about it. And it's as if Moab's calling out to them, "Oh, come to us, you know, life's so good over here, we have plenty to eat. Just come and enjoy it." And they set out with hope. "We're going to Moab, the place of hope." But here's the deal. It is a false hope. This land of Moab seems so attractive and offers so much, it's false. You see, Bethlehem is the land that God had promised to give them, the land flowing with milk and honey. You know yourselves, the theological students, Bethlehem, the house of bread. They're leaving the house of bread to go in search of this dream. They're leaving the place where God has promised or provided. And God's quite good at that. You remember, they wandered through the desert for 40 years and God provided bread. He's quite good with bread. Jesus comes along and he feeds people with bread. He's good at bread. But they don't trust him, and rather than turn to him and say, "God Almighty, we're sorry for the things we've done. Please forgive us, please provide for us." Instead, they turn away from God and look for hope elsewhere. They're running away from God's promises, moving towards human solutions. And they're running away from humility, repentance, to pride, away from waiting patiently to "let's get this sorted now." But look what happens when they get there. Verse 3 says, Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she's left with her two sons. That's it, you know, the land of hope, and he's dead. It's brutal. What would you expect Naomi to do next? You expect her to say, "This is a rubbish place to be. My husband's dead, let's go back home." But she doesn't. In fact, her two sons marry Moabite women, and they settle down in Moab, and they live there for 10 years. Maybe they thought they were only going to Moab for a little while, fill the car, bring it back. But they've settled down in the place of Moab. Settled away from God. And it's only when her two sons die that things begin to change. And I think the book of Ruth, first of all, is warning us about this false hope. Almost immediately, the dreams of Moab are shattered by the harsh reality of life. And so even the two sons die. And just as we're down in the dumps and we're left with these three women by themselves, there is a little bit of hope. There's a hint here. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people in Bethlehem by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home. When Naomi hears that God has come to the rescue of his people, she thinks, let's go back. Let's go back to Bethlehem, return to God. She wants to go back. And there's a humility here in Naomi. You know what? I was wrong to leave. I've made a mistake. I'm going to go back to God. And she's ready to give up on this false hope of Moab. Notice also that Naomi acknowledges God. Don't call me Naomi, she said. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. She's conscious that what has been done to her has been done by the Lord. She's not a bitter, twisted old lady with a warped theology. She's absolutely right, isn't she? She knows that it was wrong to leave Bethlehem. She knows she's made a mistake. I'm under God's judgment. It's time to go back. I don't think you get any hint here that she blames God or is pointing a finger at him or making excuses. No, there's a humility and a repentance. And then finally notice that Naomi's not on the scrap heap, because she goes back to Bethlehem. She says, God, I went away full, but look, now I'm empty. And the story of the book of Ruth is really how God refills Naomi. By the end of the book, she's more blessings than she could imagine. And here's what we need to learn, that past failure does not rule out future blessing. That's what we discover about Naomi. She comes back. She doesn't have a lot of hope, right? She's fragile, she's battered, she's bruised, but at least she's coming back. She's not bursting with joy, but in the last verse, there's a little hint of hope again. It's fragile, but just hear it. So Naomi returned. There's the fanfare. Naomi's back. Everyone look. And Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, arriving in Bethlehem when? Just as the barley harvest was beginning. She's coming back to the place of blessing. She's coming back to the place of hope, true hope. And here's the encouragement. For those of us who have gone to Moab, you can come back. As we recognize our wrong, we recognize we've messed it up, we've turned on him, we discover ourselves being welcomed back home. It's a beautiful thing. And to be honest with you, my experience of being a Christian is that I go to Moab most days. You know, for some people, there's the trip to Moab that lasts 10 years, and then they realize they come back to God. For me, it's more just every day there's a little trip to Moab, because I think, well, there's a problem I can get sorted myself. There's, you know, temptations. Life would be better if I did it that way. Do you feel the same? And then whenever I go to Moab, I have that moment, like Naomi, of realization, oh yes, it's a mess. I'm bitter. I'm empty. I need to go back to God. But when I go back, I find a warm welcome. The danger, of course, is that when we're in Moab, even just for a moment, we let bitterness take root. Hebrews says, see to it that no bitter root takes a hold of your heart. Instead, see that the bitter experiences, perhaps the sin that led us to it, leads you back to Bethlehem, to true hope. And somehow Ruth has come to understand that true hope is found in Bethlehem. This is really surprising, because her only experience of God is what? Well, she's a Moabite. She doesn't know anything about God. Her only experience of God is this lady called Naomi. And her husband's died. And her two sons. And yet this outsider, this foreigner, seems to come to know that hope is found in Bethlehem with this God. And so when Naomi says, stay in Moab, Ruth says, no, don't urge me to leave you or go to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. You know, stirring stuff, isn't it? This is, Disney could make a theme tune out of this. Where you go, I will go. Where you go, where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Naomi left Bethlehem to find hope in Moab. And Ruth leaves Moab to find hope in Bethlehem. And she is utterly, utterly committed to it. She says, I'm going to be buried there. She leaves everything, her family, her gods, her religion, her upbringing, everything, and pins all of her hope in Bethlehem because God has come to help his people in Bethlehem. God has come to help his people. He came to Bethlehem. And the hope of the world is found in Bethlehem. And the great, 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 great grandson of Ruth is found in Bethlehem. And Jesus is the place where true blessings are found. False hope in Moab, true hope in Bethlehem. And that is because Jesus came to take people like us, people who go off to Moab, live for ourselves, and go their own way. He takes people like us and he brings us back home, and he restores us, and he welcomes us home. And Jesus said, I am the bread. It's me. I'm the one where hope is found. Ruth realized that Bethlehem was the hope of the world. And all of us need to do that too. We need to say, I'm leaving Moab and I'm going back. Back to Jesus, back to trust in him, love for him, pin all of your hopes on him. You say to me, well, what has this got to do with the mission? Well, everything, because you're going to be ordained to work in parishes or church plants, perhaps. And you're going to be calling the people in the communities around you to come back to Bethlehem, back to Jesus. And if you or yourself are off there in Moab with the false hope, there's no chance of doing that, really, is there? There's no chance of mission. The Book of Ruth shows us about the God in whom true hope can be found. And for some of us today, let's be honest, we're tempted by Moab, aren't we? Life is hard here. Let's just run away. For some of us, we've already been in Moab and we feel battered and bruised. We've stuffed up. But I want to encourage you that you can return. And when you return,